As you might have seen, I sent out an agenda for today's conference call, which is actually a preparatory call for this working group because it still needs to be approved by the CCNSO Council. I'm not sure when that's going to happen. Do you know that,
Gabby? It has actually happened. On Friday, they actually approved the charter.
So it's actually an official call now, not a preparatory one. All right. So the first question I had was if there was any feedback on the agenda, if you guys would have like to see something changed or added or removed. If not,
looks good for me.
Okay. Good. Thank you. So then I think that this was opening and welcome. So agenda item number two that I added was maybe to quickly introduce each other because I'm not sure if everybody knows each other. So maybe we could do a quick round of introductions.
I'll flip this slide. So here are the members. Maybe we can start with Federico since you're on the top.
Yeah.
Yep. That's okay. Good morning. My name is Federico Neves. I've been involved with the CC workspace since 1997. I'm currently the director of services and technology for NIC.br. And I've worked in the security arena for the last at least decade. And my currently roles here is basically leading the tech area on the registry.
Okay. Aaron?
So I'm Aaron Lansing. I just had my third anniversary here at Stake Hostmaster. I come mainly from an operations background and also taking care of some parts of security, though we have a separate security officer here in Denmark.
Okay. My name is Christian Nisselman. I'm with .nl, the registry for the Netherlands. I'm responsible for SIDN Labs, which is the R&D team of SIDN. And I've been with SIDN since October of 2011, so that's also almost 3 years now. And my background is in computer science. Gengar, you
want to
maybe introduce yourself?
Okay. Hello. I'm Gengar Chai from Taiwan TWIC, and I work in Internet Address Department, and in charge of IPv6 promotion and some survey. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. So I assume we all know Gabi, right?
Sure.
I've been around since January 2007 for ICANN. Before that, I worked for Centre, so I've been around for quite a while. So.
Okay. Mm. All right. So thanks, everybody, for quickly introducing yourself. So if we go back to the agenda, then this was agenda item number two. The third agenda item is more of an administrative one, I would say. Because officially I'm the interim chair of the working group, so we will need to somehow elect a chair. I'm not sure how this is done usually within a working group. Do you have some experience with that, Gabi?
Yes, we normally ask for volunteers, and if no one volunteers, then we are telling someone to become chair. So maybe I could ask Christian, would you volunteer, for instance?
Oh yeah, I would.
Okay, is there any other volunteer?
I would like to make a motion for moving Christian as a chair because he did such a good job with the introduction and the agenda and the initial proposition of the report that I think he deserves the job.
Okay, Frederico is moving. Is there any other comments? Or any other nominee, volunteer? I don't hear any other volunteer. Christian? Would you mind?
I'll be honored. Thank you. All right. Thank you for that, for Gabi, for your coordinating that. So I assume that this means that I will be the chair for this working group. That's basically agenda item number 3. Then the fourth agenda item I had there was to try, I'm not sure if it's possible, to select a time slot for this conference call on a regular basis. So I was thinking about once every 2 weeks. Maybe what we could do is have this same time slot, and then maybe on a different day if that's necessary. I'm not sure if that's okay for everybody. Would that work out?
I would prefer if we had a actually fixed day and time slots.
Actually, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you telling a different day.
No. Sorry for not being clear. So what I meant was a fixed date and a fixed time slot every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, but if we want, we could also do it every 3 weeks. I'm not really. I wouldn't want to be too strict on that.
That's perfect.
So what we could do is maybe this time slot on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday or. What about this time slot on Wednesday? That would work out for me at least.
It worked out for me, but on Tuesday and Thursday I could move the time slots a lot earlier, but not on Wednesday. I don't know. Jacques is probably a little bit earlier than I am, so I would, because if we could move a little bit. Earlier the call, it would probably be better for Gang than Tsai. I don't know.
Yeah.
For you guys in Europe, it probably it's okay. I know a little bit. It would be better a little bit earlier, probably because of not clashing with lunchtime for you.
Yeah, Europe, it's 3:00 in the afternoon right now, so.
Oh, okay. So it's okay. Actually, it's okay. I don't know.
Yeah,
any working day before 4 p.m. would be fine.
Yeah.
Gang, so I was thinking. Yeah, sorry, Christine. Because I was thinking maybe we should. I should do a little doodle about the preferred day and time.
Okay.
Because we don't have Abibo and Jacques on the call, and it would be a shame if, you know, they couldn't do this.
So,
what if I do a doodle poll which you will ask? I will ask you to reply to within this week, and then I think we can set that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you, Gabi. That's a very good idea. All right.
So
we'll just for your doodle, Gabi.
Sorry. I was just trying to say that we should probably keep the frequency at bi-weekly because we've got quite a lot to do in quite a short amount of time, so we should probably move quite fast. And if people can't make it to one or two meetings, that would be fine, of course. So, but keep the meetings regular so most people can be there.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. So then the next item on the agenda is basically an overview of the charter and the deliverables. I kind of assume that you guys read the charter because otherwise you wouldn't be here, I would say. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that somebody said something. So basically what's in the charter are, I think the most important bit is the four deliverables that we're trying to accomplish.
Would you like me to upload the charter on the screen?
Yeah, please. Okay, great. So there's more. Yep.
You can scroll. You can scroll.
Oh, I can. All right. Very good. So what you're seeing there is the deliverables. So there are four, at least there are four in the charter. So one is the actual mailing list. The second one is a what I call the procedure for getting people on and off the list. D3 is an instruction manual for the people that have joined the list and the administrator of the list. And D4 is the final report, in which we basically provide an overview of the work that we carried out, our outreach results, and that sort of thing. So, actually, there was not a whole lot to this agenda item. So if you look at the next agenda item, then I also shared an input document, which is the very first draft, and I emphasize it, the very first draft of the final report of the working group. And basically, that's a discussion document, and I was just trying to, you know, reflect my ideas in this document and ask you guys to have a look at it and maybe provide feedback so that we can use this document as a, you know, first starting point to get the discussion going and also to divide the work within the group. And I already, so Evan already responded to the document, in particular to the section 3, so the possibilities on how to organize the mailing list. Now, what I propose to do, but you guys let me know what you think, is to today have maybe a first discussion on, basically continue the discussion that Evan triggered on the mailing list on, you know, what I call service model would be for this working group. So how would we organize these two services that the working group would provide, which is the content repository service and the secure messaging service. So that's actually section 3 of the input document. Would that be a good idea? Maybe, Evan, you can explain, you can maybe expand a little bit on the emails you sent out earlier today.
Sure. So I think we have kind of three different models there. The one is the classical central mailing list. The other one was what you described was have a list of contacts and keys, et cetera, so people can load that directly in their clients and send direct mails for everybody by clicking reply all. And the third model that I had, which we did here locally, was have a central web service so all the information that we need to protect actually is kept centrally, which makes protecting that data a lot easier but has some other downsides to it. I don't know what to say more about it. I think that's the starting point where we should start to see what kind of model we should go for and then fill out the details and how that can be managed.
So basically what you said, Emery, in your emails was that anyone who wants to, you know, send a message to other people, they send a message to the secure web service, and then the receivers, they get a notification by email, and then they go to the website and they download the message, something like that.
Yes, something like that. And there are different models of how to implement that. We did just by a basic webmail service, which one of the grounds to do it that way is to keep it simple and easy to manage in the right way, and we can put on more features on top of that later. But this would be a very simple way to start up and make it secure.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's a very important requirement for this working group, to keep things as simple as possible so that we can, like you said, maybe in the after we have this simple facility in place, we can expand on it. The question I had in my email is because we have these two different parts of the service, so the contact repository service on the one hand and the messaging service on the other hand. How would you organize what would the contact repository service look like in your model, Evan?
In my model, where looking at the way we implemented it, it would basically be have a the easiest way would be if there was something like a global address book that would be in all people's account, and they can just download it in vCard or whatever it is. And yes, so they can just download the whole address book of the service.
And how would you send an email to the list?
That would probably just be an internal mailing list within the software that would be the easiest to maintain, so that everyone is a member of that list. So you just send a message to that list, and it's delivered locally to all the addresses. So it's still a mailing list as a traditional mailing list, except all the accounts are local to the machine.
Not sure if I understand that. Because you said there was a central web service, right?
Yes, basically you can do your traditional mailing list software,
mm-hmm.
but all the email addresses it will send to are some domain that is local to the machine it's run on, and the only way to read the email is actually to log into the webmail interface.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So if I would have a laptop and a phone, I would have two email accounts on the list.
No, you would still only use the mailing list under the web service. Everything else is internal to the server itself.
Okay. I'm not sure about you guys, but
sure.
It's a
web mailing list.
Excuse me?
The email client is a web mail client.
Yes.
You can't use your own email address. It's a local email address.
Oh, okay.
That's what Erwin is telling, actually. But I don't know. Let me tell you guys a experience that I have and the impression that I have from the charter of the working group. I don't know if you guys know operation sharing a group called OpsTrust. And it does have a contact repository with normal contact information with email addresses, telephone numbers, PGP keys, and a way of downloading sec ring of the public keys of PGP, automatically a way of downloading. And it does have a public mailing list, but a normal mailing list as mailman mailing list as we normally use. And contact repository is run on a secure website with username and password and even one-time password with as a as a method of authentication on the system. And most of the traffic of this sharing information is done through the normal mailing list. But if actually something arises that it's delicated, the people that is sharing the information could encrypt it to all the members of the working group, or in this case of the Ops Trust, and send it, and then clients would actually need to decrypt the message using the selected method that in this case is PGP. And this is one experience that I have, and actually one group of another organization that is OARC that deals with amplification attacks using DNS is actually hosting one working group on this same system. I'm not suggesting that we do that, but I'm only telling that this is a way people, one way that people are currently already working on, and that this design, I think it met the requirement of keeping the initial solution simple, because it relies on a simple mailing list for the majority of the traffic, and that's basically that. But I would send a more consistent description of this on through email in the following days.
Yeah, that would be good. So basically what they have is a system that consists of two components, if I understand you correctly. One is the repository, which contains the contact information, and then there's also there's a mailing list that people use to securely exchange messages.
Oh, it's a normal mailing list that you can exchange messages through it. And if the subject that you are dealing on the mailing list for you, that is the one that is sharing the information, is sensitive, you encrypt it.
Okay.
And send it to the mailing list. But you encrypt with the keys of all the members of the list. And PGP does bring some automation for this. And one of the things that I think I told is that you can download through the secure website the key ring with all the keys of the members. But this presumes that this system picks a technology that all the members agree on. In this case, it's PGP.
Yeah.
I think it's good to know that people already are doing this, so they can build on some of the experience out there already. So that would be good to contact them and see. The one question I have, what kind of technical level do we expect the members of the list to have? Can we expect them to be proficient in using PGP?
Or I'm not sure.
To explain it simply to them with the handbook.
If memory serves me well, reading the charter, actually, it's not clear that it mandates us to provide initial secure channel through the mailing list. But I could be wrong. But
what do you mean, Ferguson?
I mean that the charter tells us that it needs to be a simple solution. That's what I read from the working group report.
Yep.
And I'm trying to find, but we had in the screen the four deliverables. So can we have them again, Gabi?
Yes. Sorry.
Oh.
What's this, the charter?
Yeah, the charter, yes.
Okay, yeah, stop coming.
The charter tells us that we have to have a mailing list. It doesn't say anything regarding the security of the mailing list. A procedure for subscribing and unsubscribing the security incident list, instruction manual for operating it, and in the final report. So it's not clear to me that it needs to be a secure one, like using a technology like S/MIME or PGP, or the only traffic that needs to flow through this list needs to be cryptographic. So. Christian, to interrupt you, but from my experience, if we impose such a stringent restriction, the use of the list would be a lot diminished.
Yeah,
at least for the mailing list. I completely agree that the contact repository needs to have all the security features to allow only access to and updates to strictly authenticated participants. And sorry to interrupt you, Christian.
I was going to say that there is a bit more information on, under the headings objective. So if you scroll up here, it says over here, the main objective of the working group is to implement blah, blah, blah. And then it says, secure mailing list that enables CCTLD operators to obtain each other's contact details and two, to exchange rudimentary incident messages. So this means that there's the secure contact repository, and then there's the secure messaging channel. Because you said that if we, let's say, if we make the list too secure, if I translate you somewhat freely, then people won't use it. But if you don't secure it,
people would have. People would have it would be difficult to use it. So, you are correct. Your translation is completely correct. But I think it's not on our mandate for telling what we need to do or not. I'm actually questioning the clarity of the charter in this subject. But that's one read, the one that you are doing. But I'm not telling that we should not make the ability to provide strong cryptographic exchange of messages. I'm only telling that we should not make this the only way of doing it, or the default way of doing it. But definitely the
So what you're saying, if we're trying to translate what you're saying. So what you're saying is that if we the messaging channel, so to speak, should be as simple as possible to use. That's obvious, of course. And you might not always need the security part for the messaging channel. Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is that the option to select the level of security that you want on the piece of information that you are sharing is up to you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If I think that the information that I'm sharing, it's not sensitive enough to cryptograph it and send to the members, I have the right of selecting the level of confidentiality that I want. The option of having all the system in a centralized system with a secure web interface is definitely a way of achieving it, but it doesn't preclude the people that have access to the system to copy the information from that and share using other channels as well. The PGP method doesn't preclude that too. So I'm not telling that the other method is better. Actually not in this regard of people that have access to the information repackaging it and sending it through other channels.
I agree that subscribers of the mailing list or the messaging channel, whatever you want to call it, that they should be able to select their own level of security. So if they want to send out a message that doesn't require any encryption, then they should be able to do so. This is what you mean, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So one of the reasons we did it as a web service was exactly because of user friendliness. We looked at how to do PGP keys, etc., but this was for our complaints boards, who are lawyers, so we would never be able to explain PGP usage to them on their Windows laptop, and we cannot secure our laptops. So we decided to keep all the information centrally in one server and just present them a simple web interface, which is just like a Gmail server to them.
I completely agree with you, Irvin. That if the user base is not tech savvy enough for use like something like PGP or S/MIME, that we would have a centralized solution would be probably a better fit.
Yeah, I think so too. My hunch is, but I'm not really sure about that, is that the people who would use this system or mailing list, some of them might be very technical and they know how to deal with PGP, but some of them might not be that technical. So the people that would typically be joining this system would be the people responsible for the security and stability of their ccTLD. And depending on, let's say, the maturity level of the ccTLD, some might be aware of PGP and all that sort of thing, and others might not. So I'm not sure. Intuitively, but I'm not sure if it's correct. Intuitively, I would say we should go for the easiest options in terms of user friendliness, so the highest level of user friendliness, and that might be the centralized approach. That's my hunch, at least. All right. What should we do? Should we maybe have an email discussion about the pros and cons of the different approaches? Or maybe
we should at least. Okay, you are right. We should at least describe the options that we have with the pros and cons, and then make an informed decision.
So what we could do is maybe. Excuse me, Evan.
I could probably start off the discussion by describing our central solution in a bit more detail than I did today on the mailing list.
Yeah, that might help.
I'll do that.
Could you do that?
Sure.
Okay. I will then try to, what we just discussed, try to summarize it in the just by adding it to the version 0.0 of the final report. So there's the sections, chapter 3. I will try to update that with what we just talked about. Maybe also trying to provide a structure that allows us to make this informed decision. So that's what I will do. Chapter 3. And more details. Just making a few notes here. Okay. All right. In terms of in terms of work that needs to be done, I think that my first hunch is that we should be making an informed decision, as Federico put it, about the service model. And I think once we have done that, we can detail the rest of the rest of the work that needs to be done, like setting up. Providing an overview of possible implementations and maybe providing details on this membership management procedure and that sort of thing. So do you guys all agree that the first step is the the informed decision about the model for the system?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Christian, it seems we have lost Gangdok Bai. At least he's not in the room anymore.
Oh. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. That's too bad. Okay, so I think that basically we can, you know, finalize the discussion on the input document, at least for now, unless you guys have any other feedbacks you want to share.
I got a small point.
Yeah, please.
I'm not sure which document talked a lot about the vetting of users who can access the list, or at least the administrator. My question was, why not keep it simple and use the IANA data? So on the IANA website, there is a contact email, phone, for some maybe also a fax number, and use those as the initial contact to set up at least the initial handshake to find out who can get on the list.
Well, that's a person that's listed there, or is it like admin at something?
It's probably admin, yes.
Okay.
But at least
it varies a lot.
Mechanism to get an official address for the CC release.
It varies a lot. If you talk even to Gabi or to Bart, they would tell you that the IANA contact repository is probably not the best one.
Okay.
Well, we should at least mention it as a possibility.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it would be a requirement to get on the list to make your IANA data up to date.
I think that the... I think it's important to... I agree that we should keep this, the membership management procedure, which is what you're talking about, I think, as simple as possible. But we also need to make sure that for each CCTLD, we actually have the people on the list that can actually do something, that they have the authority to do something within their registry if something happens. So we actually
I'm just saying that if someone from a given CCTLD contacts us to get on the list, we would send a verification email to the address listed at IANA.
Mm-hmm.
Have to find out within their organization to get hold of that email if they're not themselves on that email address.
I think it's
a simpler way than to find out who the official CEO is of the company, or which can differ how you do that in each country.
Let me ask Gabi something. Gabi, do we have some procedures to actually establish a CCNSO procedures to request membership on the CCNSO mailing list from members or non-members?
Yes.
What is the secure handshake for?
Well, what we do is, if I'm speaking about the CCNSO members list, any change or any addition or anything that goes on or off that list needs to be approved by our primary contact. We have a different database than the IANA database. So we're checking who the primary contact is. If someone wants to get on that list, we only approve subscriptions if it comes upon a request on our primary contact. If our primary contact has changed and, he or she is not there anymore, then we're checking who's listed as administrative contact in the IANA database, and we ask that we receive an email from that email address listed there with this request. So it could be that we need to, that our primary contact or the CEO has changed, and the only way to get the new one is then to go through IANA. But otherwise, we always any change goes through the our primary contact.
So, but we already have procedures for that documented once. Or this is like the something that passed through the history of the CCNSO.
I'm actually not 100% sure whether this is documented somewhere. I need to check that. This is what the way I was told to do it when I started. So this is why we do how we do it. And now for the CCTLD community email list, which is run by us, but it's for the also for non-members. We do the same, and I know it's documented because I was there when we drafted the charter for that. I actually don't know if we have a charter for the CCNSO members list, but I would expect that we do. I will check this with Bart.
Okay, good. All right, that might already help.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, Christian, sorry. I just made those questions because I think we don't need to innovate on this area.
Yeah, I understood the question. Yeah. I think it's a very good plan. Yeah. All right, so Gabi, if you could check if there's some form of documentation there, then we might be able to reuse that or maybe simply refer to that procedure.
Yeah. As I said, we already have it for the CCTLD community email list, and that could be a point to refer to as well because the CCTLD community email list includes non-CCNSO members, which we hope this list would include as well. So we do already have a point of reference.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Okay. So, great. Cool. All right. So that was basically on Erwin's comment. So let me see where we are now. So we were discussing the input document, and the final agenda item at this point is the division of work. But I think we have already, set out a few action points because we first need to make a decision on the model that we want to use for this service. So I wrote down that Erwin is going to provide a bit more detail on the approach that he proposed, and I will try to capture the discussion that we just had in the report document and also maybe provide some structure there. And Gabi will check if there is any written documentation on the membership procedure for the CCTLD list. So that leaves us with already three action points.
Christian. I will do a description of the service model that I try to describe in written form for the obstruct mailing list. That is something that ORC already uses.
Okay. Well. You will make a description of that.
I don't know. Can you see the action items I have in the right corner? It should be visible for everyone, but maybe it's not.
It's labeled as note 6.
Yes, note 6.
Okay.
Yeah, below the roster of the members of the chat.
You can see that? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I can see it too because.
So they are not complete. So Christian, afterwards I will send what I have to you, and we can complete the action items together.
Excellent. Okay. I'm still trying to get used to Adobe Connect because I haven't used it before. I didn't know it even generated action points for us. Okay. So those were the action points. And one other thing that maybe we can briefly talk about is that we now have four deliverables, and I was wondering if there's a few volunteers in the working group who want to take the lead in one of the deliverables. And so I could take the lead in deliverable D4, for example, which is the final report, and I was wondering if there's other people who want to volunteer for one of the other three deliverables. So being in the lead doesn't mean you have to do everything, but it would mean, coordinating the deliverable a little bit.
Christian, let me make a proposition that as soon as we could describe and probably better deal with the deliverable number one, that is the operational sector mailing list service, that is probably the model of service that we'll be having. This is kind of a shared document that we'll be having. I know all the documents are shared, but as soon as we define this, we could pick leaders for even the deliver of this final document and the other two. And hopefully we will have more members on the next call.
So what is your proposal for Eriko? Because I didn't get it.
I'm proposing for not picking anyone at that time.
Oh, okay. And do it after we select the service model.
Yes, yes.
Okay, sure. I can live with that, no problem. Yeah? It should be
but
right.
It's just a proposition. I'm not... it's up for you guys.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I'm okay with that. So I'll just leave it open for now. Okay. So that was basically the last agenda item that I had listed there. So then, actually, we're right on time. Is there any other business that we need to talk about at this point?
Christian, I have some stuff, but I'll let anyone else go first if there is anyone else who wants to talk.
I do have one thought that I would like to contribute, but go ahead, Gabi.
First of all, this, maybe I should have said this at the beginning of the call, but I can do it now. This call has been recorded, which does not mean that we automatically need to post it for everyone. This is actually something I wanted to ask you. We always record our calls, but sometimes if working group members think it's too sensitive, we just share the recording with the other working group members. If you don't think there's anything sensitive, we usually post it on our website. It's actually up to you to decide what you think.
No, I'm okay with that. I have no objections.
Yeah, I'm okay with sharing that too.
Okay, sharing. And you know, if you don't want to share next recording or what, it's fine. You just need to tell me. But otherwise, automatically this will be shared on the. It will be posted on our website. That was one thing. And the second thing I had, and this is more for I guess the chair, but it's just an idea I had because it's really important for to get as many as possible involved in this process. We want to have as many people as possible participating. So I thought that it would perhaps be good if the chair could quite regularly, I don't know, also on a maybe bi-weekly basis or something, just send a very brief, very easy to understand, simple, not a report, but an update to the CCTLD community and CC NSO members list, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
to say, we had a meeting, this was discussed, and we hoped this will happen. It really could be very brief, but just I thought it would be good to keep everyone involved from the very start, so that they
okay.
know this is coming and they feel involved and so on. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Sure. No worries. I'll do that.
Great. That was all for me.
Okay. Frederico, you wanted to say something else?
Yes, Christian. I know there is some in the air that some disbelief that this work would actually produce something that would be of actual use by the community. So I think we should take this as how can I say small warning for us to taking really seriously the question of simplicity and usability of the all the services that we will be try to deliver to the community through this, because if we do something that is too different or not easy to use, probably the result of this work would be of no substance, and so we should keep this in mind.
Personally, I totally agree with you there, Federico.
And I don't know if this is only my general feeling that there is people that I talk to some people, and they tell that we already tried this in the past, and actually the results were actually not. They were not practical. Yeah.
I think that's also one of these. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, Federico. But we had we organized a survey at the end. So I was also in the previous working group, and we organized a survey at the end of last year. So around November, I think, or December, and we asked the community, okay, do you see an added value in this type of service? And I think that around 80% responded that they were seeing an added value in this type of service. So I think that's I think that's pretty clear that everyone sees the added value here. But we also saw comments in the questionnaire that said, okay, please keep it as simple as possible. Exactly what you're saying, actually. So this is actually one of the starting points for this entire working group to keep things as simple as and usable as possible. So I couldn't agree with your statement more, to be honest.
I've copied in the, or pasted in the link to the survey results, Federico, if you want to review it.
Yeah, thank you, Gabby. I will skim it. Yep.
And there's two sides of keeping it simple. The one is the user side, because it would be easy for users to actually send the information they want to share. But it should also be very simple on the administrative side, because we don't have any budget.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good addition. Yeah. All right. So what I will do, I will highlight this in the draft document more clearly. So to make this that this is an important requirement, or maybe even the most important requirement. Let me make a note there. All right, so thanks, Federico, for that feedback. That's very useful. Evan, anything else that we need to talk about?
No, I got too many action points already.
All right. Gabby, anything else?
No, not from my end.
All right. So in that case, I would like to thank everyone for attending the call. Just one question did this format work for you guys? Should we stick to this format in the future, or do we require something else?
Works.
By format, I mean the agenda. Okay. So I will send out something similar next week for the next call. Okay, great. So then Gabby and I will distribute the action points, and then we'll talk to you guys in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay. So thank you very much. Have a good
day.
Thank you.
You too, guys. Bye-bye. Bye, Gabby.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.